and live. And for all of you that go to personalpowerpodcast.com and choose from the over 1 million downloads that are there from these calls and Susan Sly's calls and Jay Bennett's calls, we just really want to honor you and acknowledge you for showing up. Because if you didn't show up, I mean, Dave and I would probably still do these just between us, but we love that everyone gets to come in and say hi. And I just want to give a shout out to all these Facebook congratulations to Jeff and Debbie and to Melissa Marcantel and also to Katie Newbaum. They're all getting these rising stars, and there's a lot more of you that are going to be getting in the next few days. And so it's 18 days from today that we'll all be together as we sell. We've already sold out as a celebration at the San Diego Convention Center, just 18 days away. So, Dave, I was on with Dave this morning just for a sec to talk about a couple things. And, Dave, man, good morning. I just want to take a moment and make sure that you all, if you're new, this is Dave MacArthur, who was a mechanic. And I remember him when he was. As a matter of fact, on one of my bike rides here in St. George, I go by the old place where I first met him at the Honda dealership. And I have nothing but beautiful memories. And now to see what Dave MacArthur has done, it's truly a miracle. And the thing is, if Dave MacArthur, as a mechanic, can become a multimillionaire and he can teach us how, then it's worth everything for us to listen to him. And I just am so grateful to you, Dave, for the leader that you are and for all that you give, especially your Mechanic to Millionaire podcast. So, Dave, good morning. Happy Monday, bro.
Oh, good morning. Happy Monday. Good morning, everyone. It's funny, Lenny, it was either Carrie or Mackenzie just told me the other day that somebody in response to my story that was shared on Facebook, there was a naysayer. They were like, this story has to be fabricated. You know, it was like it was a made-up story. And it was either Carrie or Mackenzie responded back, no, this is real. This is, you know, my dad or my husband, whichever it was. And the person responded back like, oh. You know, it's just, I don't know. I feel so blessed and motivated, inspired by what happened to us in our lives and where we were and where we are now is diametrically opposed. And the inspiring part of that is that anybody can do that. It's like Jim Rohn says, who could do that? Anybody. So it's just a matter of when in Egypt, do what the Egyptians do, or when in Rome, do what the Romans do. If you want to be successful, do what successful people do. One thing I want to say real quick, I wasn't even planning on saying this, but I was in an area where I was doing a meeting, and can you hear me okay? I'm hearing something on the backside, but okay.
Yeah, I think there's somebody else on the speaker code, but yes, we can hear you perfect.
Okay. I was in an area where I do a meeting. I repeatedly go back, and the area is growing, and I was talking with one of the leaders who just has a rocking group. They have great people in there. Downline that are, you know, rocking it out and see the vision and are locking arms, go to the events, and this particular person's never been to an event, but it's got a great group under them, right? And I was just talking about Jim Rohn, you know, it was like a month ago, for the month of July, or it was June, I can't remember, but
started
being committed to listening to Jim Rohn as much as I can for the entire month, and I really listened to him a lot. And so I was talking about that with this leader, and their organization, and I said, you know, people have really got to commit. I mean, if you want to make a six-figure to multiple six-figure income, Jim Rohn says you need to be putting in the beginning, 10, 12, 14 hours a week. And I said, I just don't think a lot of people do that. You know, we're just brainstorming with this person that I'm visiting with. And I said, I just don't think a lot of people do that. Like, they don't take it serious. They do it when it's convenient or, you know, their expectations of what they want and the effort that they're putting in are a disconnect. They're not matching up. And the person that I was with that, you know, is doing fairly well said, yeah, I don't even think I put in 2 hours a week. And so here I am, been involved with this company in this industry for 10 years now. And it still shocked me. I mean, the way that hit me, because here's this person who has such aspirations as an Isagenix associate and wanting to take it all the way, isn't even putting in 2 hours a week. And so the reality is, you know, you could have one leg that's really taking off and the other leg that's not. And that was the case for this particular leader, still cycling on a weekly basis, but nowhere near like what they want to be. And so I don't know, just something you had just said or something that went through my mind in the opening here and the reality of it. Sometimes we need a reality check. Is what we're expecting matching up with what we're giving? Does that make sense, Lenny? I mean, does that like ring a bell for anything? Does that resonate with anything that you've noticed in you know, building your
Isogenics
business?
Oh, man, absolutely. And, you know, it's in direct proportion to our what you put into something is typically what you get out. We're taught, right, Dave, in like when we both had jobs and we both did a lot of things before we found Isogenics, the old world does teach that, you know, you put in your time and you get your money. Put in your time, you get your money. So we start to have this mindset. And so most people are still stuck in the mindset of that. But with network marketing, with this new economy, it's multiplied. It's so much more. And so it's not hard to replace. Like, you could have replaced your income and just worked an hour a week for the rest of your life. But you and me and other people, we've chosen to give it more. We want to serve more. We want to give more. And then the blessings come in. It's almost like the geometric progression of blessings. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, totally. And
so
I think that's the thing that I would...
Old income, your old school economy income pretty easily. But then if you don't go to that next level, and if you see that there is a next level, you can serve at a bigger level. Like, you can give more to people all around. And then, oh, my gosh, right? I mean, that's what you're proving. And look what's happening. It's just amazing.
Yeah. I think, I don't know how people, they've got to come to that understanding on their own. They got to have their own aha. They got to internalize that process of where we're not trading time for money. So it's not as appealing to go out and work more than 2 hours a week when you're not getting paid in return. But to the person who's wiser and can see what would happen down the road because of that sacrifice, the payout is way better than any job, any trading time for money, anything that you could be doing in going out and getting paid for what you're doing immediately. The thing that caught me by surprise and a little bit shocked me was the quality of the person and the adamantness of wanting to build the Isogenics business and being in communication with this person quite a bit, and yet the disconnect of how much time they were spending on it. And still, even in this industry, being blessed, you know, even for the lack of amount of time, but that kind of feeling stuck and it not growing as fast, so they start looking for other things, and you're feeling like, oh, maybe networking's not for them, or whatever goes through the mind to rationalize, you know, the stuckness of somebody. And then, so the thing that really hit me was, oh, they're not really stuck because they're not really even putting any time in. There's a huge disconnect. So I would ask everybody on this call, I would think the same thing would ring true throughout most people's organization with people who are stuck. And maybe they're spending time in conversations about how bad they want it and how much they want it. But because we're not with them every minute of the day throughout the entire week, we don't know what they're really doing. But their intentions and their excitement and their enthusiasm are up there. But they also have these frustrations and sense of, you know, lack of growing as fast as they'd want. I'll bet they're not even putting in 2 hours a week. And so we need to ask ourselves that as well. Am I putting in the 10 to 12 to 14 hours a week while I'm still working my other job? That's what Jim Rohn said. So while you're still working your job, you're building your part-time fortune, are you putting in 10 to 14 hours a week? Because he says that's the reality of it, and those that will actually start to replace their incomes at work, and then it will be ridiculous. You'll double it, you'll triple it. And then you can start moving into it in a full-time basis where you're spending more time than that. So I don't know. That was just something that I thought would be worth sharing for the reality check, for somebody to really check in and maybe start organizing themselves a little bit more. See, for people like Lenny and myself and some of you that are on this call, we're just extremists. So the time that we put in isn't even a question. We just go for it because that's what our passion is, and we jump in with both feet, you know, head first. And we just work it because that's what we love to do. And so we don't even need somebody to check up on us if we're, you know, being diligent in how much time we're spending in our Isagenix business. But I think that's not the case for a lot of people. And it's because, I don't know, there's a lot of different reasons that might lead up to why somebody would have that disconnect, not putting in the time that you'd have to put in to get in back in proportion. So I don't know if that makes sense, but I just was planning on talking about something totally different, but that's what came up, so it must have needed to come out today and dispel some of the unjustified frustrations that some people might be feeling. And if you're putting in the time, but your organization isn't growing, then you haven't attracted the right people, right? You haven't attracted the right people yet who are also going to put in that amount of time, 10 to 14 hours a week. So we just keep getting better and better and becoming more and more responsible for that to happen. Anyways, Lenny, I don't know if – I think it makes sense. I would like to, like, maybe lay that out a little bit better, but that, yeah. I just threw it out there.
Well, let me just ask you a question. I'm going to ask you, Dave MacArthur, a question because I'm loving this. And when you say when we talk about not finding those leaders yet, I just want to ask you. There's two things I want to ask you. But first, how if the law of attraction is true, which we believe it is, right? Like it always worked perfectly. And so, if we're not finding the right leaders, to me, and this is the question. How often should I look at who I am being to see, because I'm only going to attract what I am, right?
Exactly. There's a quote I posted somewhere, success is more about the person who you become, success, right?
So working, here's the second question then. If I'm going to attract who I am, so I'm working on myself daily, diligently, to be a person of service, of love, of openness, of not letting go of the judgment, of all those things. So in the day, if we're going to have, let's say we dedicate 4 hours a day to building our residual income, let's just say with Isagenix in this case. So if we've got a four-hour chunk, the question becomes, how much of that 4 hours would be – how much do I use that – how many minutes of the 4 hours do I spend making phone calls and going out and finding people, and how much of that time do I work on me, whether it's meditation, visualization, imaging, looking at my vision board? Do you have an idea of the – because you are famous in this company and in the world really for talking about personal growth, working on my mind first. Lynn Agredorn does it. Susan Sly does it. So many people are following in this way of it's personal growth first, actual action, because you and I understand now, especially because of A Happy Pocket Full of Money, that action is the arm of receivership, is receiving the blessings. So can you break that down? I mean, I don't know if it's an 80-20, 70-30, 50-50. What is there a number for you and Carrie?
I would say it's 100% on both sides. 4 hours of doing the actions and 4 hours of doing the personal development. You know, it's and I'm not saying that makes it 8 hours now. There's a way of intertwining them. You know, my knee-jerk reaction, Lenny, is to say, well, dedicate the 4 hours to going out and getting into action and talking to people and wake up earlier and don't count that as your 4 hours. You know, because the actions are important, but they're the last part of the process of the law of attraction. The first cause is what's going on inside me. Am I in the past, or am I in the imaginary future, or am I in the present creating as a conscious creator right now? And I can consciously create while I'm getting into action, but I do need to set up myself in the morning so that I'm got my mind right. I'm in the right place. I'm consciously creating in the way that I want to. I've got the images in my mind. I've got the feeling. I've got the affirmations. They're right at the top of my mind, so I can call those up anytime during the day. And then I go out and get into action, and action is receiving. So the first cause is what's going on inside you. Are you in the past, thinking about the past and rehashing that? Or are you in the imaginary future, you know, thinking about all that could go wrong, and or the better thing would be to be thinking all that has gone right, but that would be in the present right now. So we want to stay out of the past, we want to stay out of the future, and we want to be in the present and coming up with originating thoughts. And I can do that while I'm getting into action. So to me, 100% on both, because I can't attract the things I want unless I'm into action, and I can't attract the things I want unless I got my mind right. And so does that make sense? I'm going to get out and get into massive action just as I'm going to get into massive action with my personal development. They're both 100% important, but you got to get – most people just leave the first cause out. Once they figure that out and what the first cause is and getting to their state and they're already in actions, it will just flow. It'll just happen automatically. But most people don't think about the first part, the first cause. And if they do think about it, most cases they think they know what it means and they don't, and they're not doing it right. As the moment you get that first cause right and you're an action-oriented person, everything will start to go really, really quickly, like with Casey Pluff and Katie and all these people that we're seeing them, you know, advancing very quickly because they finally figured out what that first cause is on the correct level. So I don't know if that answers your question, but they're both equally important. But first cause would absolutely – you can't throw the pan for the cake. You know, if you're going to bake a cake, you can't just throw the pan in the oven. There's things you need to do prior to that. You got to mix all the ingredients and get them all in there in the right amounts and the right ingredients. That's the first cause. And then the second would be the action. Put the, you know, the pan in the oven with the ingredients in it. And most people are leaving the ingredients out. They're just throwing the pan, an empty pan, into the oven, if that makes sense.
It totally makes sense. And I love your answer. It took me by surprise, I will be honest. But now that you've explained it, it makes a lot of sense. And I'm reading this line from the sentence from A Happy Pocket Full of Money on page 168. It says, when you are working within your purpose, work is no longer a job. It becomes a pleasure, and it becomes life. The boundary between work and fun vanish. And that's the way I see you. No matter
that's
what
how it
doing.
Happens. Because the receiving is the actions. You've got to get into action to receive it. But the receiving is the part that we all want. The wins, the victories, the successes. And so getting into action becomes a pleasure because you're receiving the things that you want. And that's what we're all striving for. Most people are just getting into action and they're not. They're running up against roadblocks and brick walls and obstacles. It's because they didn't do the first part, which is first cause. And to me, that's the number one priority. So, look, I had some goals I wanted to hit by convention. As far as rank. And I didn't hit them. But like Bentino says, I know why. It doesn't take me by surprise. I'm not frustrated because I don't know why I didn't hit my goals. I know exactly why I didn't hit them. Because I didn't do first cause to the level that I needed to get these new goals. And on one sense, it's kind of frustrating. But on another sense, I'm living my dream life. I mean, you know, over 20 grand a week, it's kind of, you know, it makes one mentally lazy. The more success you have, because you start to live that life that you were striving for. Now it really takes that extra, what am I going to do to go out and make a bigger impact? You know, and so I got to really dig deep to go through the process of changing me to the next level. And I'm pretty happy with the level that I'm at, but I'm not satisfied. And so it's like, Dave, come on, you got to go into the gym and work out today. And a lot of times we don't like to go into the gym when we're already feeling like we're in pretty good shape. You know, you just – so I know – and it's the first cause. So this goes back to the thing, Lenny. I've been doing the actions. I've still been going around doing all of the meetings just like I've always done them. but I haven't reached my new goals, you guys. Why? Because I haven't been focusing on first cause. And so I know exactly why. It's not taking me by surprise. It's not unknowing as to why I haven't hit my goals. I just need to reach deeper and commit to getting into the gym more, the mental gym, mentally exercising. And, you know, and I go in and out of it, Lenny. So I'm just being transparent here to show that the law of attraction works every single time. And so I'm not questioning and doubting the law of attraction and my own beingness and my involvement in that, because I know that I haven't been doing what I need to do to get to that next level. And I, you know, so that we're covering a lot of an area here. Man, we need to do a Super Saturday. Everybody ready? We'll just keep on this call until Saturday. Let's keep going. But I, you know, it's a great conversation because it's a lot of food for thought, but you've got to want to think deep to really understand what we're saying here. And Carrie had a conversation with somebody that's not even in Isagenix, and they said, yeah, I just don't really like to think deep. I don't do it that often, if ever. You know, so I don't know what to say for that person, you know. Anyways, we're just kind of having fun. It'd be like if you're in the office here and we're sitting chatting together.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is the conversation that I long to have with all of you. And so that's what we're doing right now. We're having this conversation with all of you. You all get to listen in on this conversation. And when we say first cause, if you don't understand what first cause means, it's significantly more important than first class, like in a plane. First cause is everything, and it's about being in state. And you can listen, you know, what I recommend is as soon as you can, do two things. Go to Mechanic to Millionaire podcast and start listening to Dave and Carrie. You know, it's mostly Dave in the beginning, and then Carrie comes on strong. And it's brilliant. And some of the later podcasts, just the last seven, have been about this first cause in a very real way. And then the book that we've been studying is called A Happy Pocket Full of Money by David Cameron Chikandi. And the more you start to understand first cause, which is your beingness, your isness, your state, it's not thoughts, but it drives your thoughts. Your thoughts drive your speaking, your words. Your words drive your actions. And action is what Dave's talking about. It's a receivership. So it's all connected. But that man, you know, being that beingness, that isness, right, Dave? That's the ticket.
One of the things I wanted to mention, I know we're going a little long, but I think it's worth it for those of you that can hang on. Like in personal development, even I and others have related ourselves to like a computer. We program ourselves, we get the input, and that input, that data starts to build our paradigm. But it's interesting that the thing we know the least about is ourselves. The thing we know the least about is ourselves. And what I'm talking about when I say ourselves, I'm talking about beingness, who we really are. And so we're not the computer and we're not the software. We're neither of those. We precede both of those. And so that's what state is. And state drives everything. State makes your results. You're the most amazing creator, and your state is creating your whole experience. So if we can get to state, that precedes everything. It precedes the data. It precedes the computer, the physical features of us. It precedes all of that. And people just don't know anything about it. And so we're changing that because we're in the information age that we have so much at our disposal now. We can share and integrate and get all of this information that we've never had access to before. And so we're starting to understand things in a way that we've never understood them before. And that's what's changing our results. It's changing our circumstances. It's changing our experience. So that state, the all-important state of being, it precedes everything, though, Lenny. That was an epiphany I had this morning, because we're not the computer. We're not the software. We precede all of that. That's all man-made stuff. Nobody has ever made anything that compares to state, our state of being, our beingness, our I am. Nobody's made it because nobody can. So I don't know. It just goes to show. I mean, the reason I bring that up is because it's a deep conversation, and it's one that we need to look at. And if it's causing confusion, great. That's awesome. I want to confuse you right now with that if you've never thought about it before, because you need to start thinking about it, because it shouldn't confuse you because it's who you are. And as soon as you get beyond that confusion and that doubt and that skepticism and you really start to take a look at it, it's the first step towards taking ownership to who you really are and what you can really do and the possibilities. Anyway.
I love it. Well, we could talk for like a whole Super Saturday. I think we've decided also that a happy pocket full of money is going through the text for our next Follow Your Bliss retreat, which we're super excited about. So hopefully people will be reading that a lot before November, the first weekend in November, and more on that later. But, Dave, you know, thank you so much. And you know, just let's all be in this place of, okay, what can you do right now? What can I do right now? You know, to understand this and to get into place. And remember that whatever you say after the words, I am, oh, my friend, be so diligent and careful and investigate and think about, because whatever you say after those words, I am, that's your state, unless you start thinking around it and try to talk yourself out of that state. If you can just be that thing, that vibration, that feeling, you know, I am happy, and then that state causes happy conditions because it causes happy thoughts. It's first cause. Being happy is first cause. And so we could go on and on, Dave, but I love all this. I love this so much.
I know.
Hopefully we'll get to ride motocross on Wednesday morning and talk about it some more.
Yes. Let's do it.
And I'm just so grateful. And we're all going to be together in less than 3 weeks, bro, in San Diego. Yeah?
Oh, it's going to be epic.
Yeah, for sure, on every level. So, Dave, thank you so much. And everybody, let's just take a deep breath together to integrate some of the teachings that Dave just shared with us on 3-1-2-3, breathe in. And just let it go. You don't need to know everything. Just that being place. And know that we believe in you. We believe in you. We see you. We love you. We see your greatness. We know that each of us has unique, special talents, gifts, and even personalities that add to the whole, because we're all connected. We're all perfectly connected. There's no way to not be connected at this point, and I finally get. And so I just want you to know that we see your greatness, because that greatness is reflected back in us. But we all do have special talents, and we can all do this. There's no question, none whatsoever. So, guys, with that, we want you to just be so successful and happy and wealthy and healthy and joyful, blissful, and loving. And that's we have that right. That's our birthright, all those things. We as humans are perfectly designed to experience joy. That's one of the things we're perfect at. And one of the other ones is we're perfect at executing everything in the present moment, the eternal now moment, right now. We don't do so good in the past, and we suck at the future. But if we can just figure out that we're really, really good in the moment, then everything that you and I do to learn how to be in the moment, like breathing, wow, it's all worth it. So, guys, thank you so much. I'm going to unmute the lines. Let's do a 1-2-3 isogenic shout, and we'll be on our day. Here we go.
Unmuted.
Hey, we're live, friends. 1, 2, 3.
I
Thank you.